So, because at the moment I've only got two listeners, I thought instead of recording the show, what would be easier if you two just come round and then I'll talk about Christmas for an hour and then you can go home again. So that saves me having to record it, I don't have to edit it, and I don't have to put it up online. What do you say?
Ooh, you suck!
It was just an idea. Okay, fine, like, run the theme music.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, says me, I'm a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode something of the Total Christmas Podcast. Thanks for turning out. It's nice to have you here. Do you know what? I've got very little to report from the last episode. I've had one email that's worth me talking about. And I have to say, I was expecting a little bit more. Because do you remember the What the Dickens segment where I talked about, I think that Scrooge's niece or Fred's wife is pregnant? And no one said anything about it apart from one person. And I'll read out what I received. Here it comes. In response to your question about why Scrooge's niece sat out of Blind Man's Buff, my thoughts had always been that as the game was an opportunity for a bit of otherwise forbidden touching between the sexes in strict Victorian times, it was not considered seemly for a married woman to participate, and that Dickens was describing the touching as monstrous supports this idea, I think. And then he also mentions, which I wasn't aware of, he's put, also, Washington Irving, of whom Dickens was a great fan, wrote a very similar account of a game of blind man's buff in The Sketch of Geoffrey Crayon Gent, published in 1819. He describes the blindfolded man who pursues one particular girl and ignores the others as a rogue, again suggesting this was not considered a game for the more genteel of society. And then he also says that he covered Christmas excerpts from this book in episode 4 of his podcast, All Your Christmases, which is available on all good podcast platforms. I'll come to that later, but I want to address what he says there. I disagree, and there's a couple of reasons for that. Now, the first one is that Scrooge's niece is the only one that doesn't join in. It sounds like all the other people do. No one else has mentioned that they're sitting to one side. And it says, and it doesn't just say that she sat out, it says that she was made comfortable in a chair. Again, I think suggesting that why would she need to be comfortable? Couldn't she just sit in any old chair? Why has she got to be comfortable? Why is she resting up? Also, it says there might have been 20 people there. So say you've got around 20 people, I'd imagine that there was more than one married couple amongst them. Plus the fact that Topper mentions that he is a wretched outcast being a bachelor. So again, it suggests that, you know, there weren't many bachelors there out of the 20 people. And also the fact that they're playing the game at all. This was a well-to-do family. If Scrooge's niece had something wrong with that, I don't think they'd be playing the game. I think they'd just stick to the other games. But then the other bit, and this is the bit that really did it for me, because she could have been sat out for whatever reason, and I always thought that she might have just been tired or whatever it was. It's the bit where it mentions later on in the book, and that's the bit that made me really think that she was pregnant, because it says that Scrooge wouldn't have startled them if he'd remembered his niece's condition. It doesn't mention her condition, actually, in the book. It doesn't use that term, but it does mention the footstool. And I think the fact that it mentions a footstool suggests that she was in some sort of condition that she'd need to raise her legs. Like I said in the last episode, there's no definitive answer, but I do stand by it. I really do. I think you should have a look at it. Maybe I'd like it if you guys could weigh in as well. We've got two conflicting opinions, so I'll be interested to know what any other aficionados of the book think about it. Well, that's pretty much it for housekeeping, so let's get started with this. This is the quiz. Here it is, boys and girls, our Christmas quiz, or should I say, loosely based around Christmas quiz. The questions this week aren't so bad, actually. I reckon you could be looking at getting a good, maybe between 5 and 7, something like that. I'm guessing. I don't know what's in your brain, do I? Well, neurons? Is it neurons in there? I don't know. Actually, so there you go. I don't know what's in your brain, clearly. I'm not a doctor or a biologist. Is it a biologist? I don't know. People that look at... I'm not a person that looks at brains. Can we stop talking about brains? This is a Christmas podcast. If you want to talk about brains, go on the brain podcast. We're just doing the quiz. Right, here we go. Question number one. Who is the author of The Gruffalo? Okay, let me put that another way, because that's not what it says in the book. This is what it says in the book. The poem, The Christmas Pine, is the poem that the UK Poetry Society commissioned to be displayed on Trafalgar Square's Christmas tree in 2020. The creator of The Gruffalo wrote it. Who is she? Like I say, question number one, who wrote The Gruffalo? Question number two, what is the opening or processional carol of the traditional festival of nine lessons and carols in church services? I knew this one. I'll give you a clue. I talked about this, I think, with Ed Daly back when we did the quiz before, and I hummed the tune. It was one he hadn't heard of, so you might have a problem with this if you're in the States. But it's the song that opens most carol services and carols at King's, which is a very famous church service at Christmas in the UK. Question number three, easy one. What is the name of James Stewart's character in the film It's a Wonderful Life? Next one, question number something. In what European language is Fröhliche Weihnachten the Christmas greeting? And the answer is no country, because I pronounced that so badly. But, you know, you get the gist of it. I'll have another go. Here we go. Here comes the second pass. Fröhliche Weihnachten. Yeah, stick with that. Question number five. Although not a hit in the UK, which American group recorded the 1963 song Little Saint Nick, which has been included in many Christmas compilation albums? Question whatever. In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the second day? On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me what? Next one, which TV family have a pet greyhound named Santa's Little Helper? Another easy one, that one. Next one, complete the title of Nicholas Allen's book, Father Christmas Needs a What? What does Father Christmas need? What does he need? What's he after? Hey? Question number... The 1954 film White Christmas was intended to have which dancing film star team up with Bing Crosby, but he declined after reading the script. He's like, I ain't performing in that trolley. No way, man. That's exactly how he said it. And the last, no, not the last one, the second to last one. What are the only inanimate objects given in the song The 12 Days of Christmas? Inanimate, meaning not alive. And last question, Christmas Island, the one in the Indian Ocean, is famous for the annual migration of what animal? Okay, there you go. Those are your 11 questions. Here come your 11 answers. Question number one, who wrote The Gruffalo and also some poem about a tree? That was Julia Donaldson. I don't know how popular The Gruffalo is. You can't walk down the street without tripping over one of Julia Donaldson's books. She writes so many, it's unbelievable. The girls in my house, they've got at least, if it's less than 20, I'd be amazed. And I hate to say it, they're all pretty good. She's a pretty good author. Yeah, she churns them out, but they're good books. Question number two. What song starts off all these carol services? And the answer is Once in Royal David City. If you remember, when I had Ed Daly on, I was humming Once in Royal David City, and he was like, no, that's just Hark the Herald Angels Sing. They're very similar. They're very similar. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ her little child. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. That was a medley there, see what I did? Right, next one. What's the name of James Stewart's character in It's a Wonderful Life? It's George Bailey, isn't it? We all know that one. Next one, question number whatever. In what European language is Fröhliche Weihnachten the Christmas greeting? That was German. Question number whatever. Although not a hit in the UK, which American group recorded the 1963 song Little Saint Nick, which has been included in many Christmas compilation albums? Well, that's the Beach Boys. And I've got to say, pretty much every compilation album in the UK will have Little Saint Nick on it. You hear it on the radio a little bit, not a massive amount, but definitely it'll be in your compilation albums. I like the song. Yeah, I like the song. Okay, question number something. In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the second day? Two turtle doves, wasn't it? Two lovely turtle doves. Question number whatever. Which TV family have a pet greyhound named Santa's Little Helper? Well, it's the Simpsons. I think you all knew that. Complete the title of Nicholas Allen's book, Father Christmas Needs a What? What does he need? He needs a wee. He needs a wee wee. We got that book. Yeah, girls got it. Love it, they do. Do they? I don't know. Question number something. The 1954 film White Christmas was intended to have which dancing film star team up with Bing Crosby, but he declined after reading the script. Well, it says here Fred Astaire. But that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's like they make it sound like that was the first time they were going to team up, but Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby were in Holiday Inn, weren't they? I don't know if he declined because he thought it was too much like Holiday Inn. I don't know what happened there. I don't think quite often you hear that people think White Christmas is a remake of Holiday Inn. I don't think they're that similar. They're similar enough because they're both about hotels, but I don't think they're that similar. What are the only inanimate objects given in the song The 12th Day of Christmas? Well, that's those 5 gold rings, isn't it? Yeah, 5 of them. And last one, question 11. Christmas Island, the one in the Indian Ocean, is famous for the annual migration of what animal? Well, the answer, of course, is the red crab. And, of course, it's got to be crabs, because they're found on Christmas Island, and they've got Sandy Claws. Yes! Sandy Claws! That's right, boys and girls. And a lot of you might be thinking, hang on a minute, we had that question a couple of episodes ago. Yes, we did, but here's the thing, right? I got an email from someone saying, I can't believe you missed out this opportunity for a fantastic joke. My name's Christy Easter. And she's right. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let that slip by. No way, man. So I added the question in again. You got the joke. And we all win, don't we? Well, sort of. You know, it wasn't a great joke. But I said it, and I'm proud of it. And I shouldn't be proud of it. Christy should be proud of it. Because it never even crossed my mind. Shame on me. Thank you for that, Christy. And also, right, she put, how is your poinsettia from last year? Was there a successful rebloom? Inquiring minds want to know. So back in November last year, I mentioned on the podcast that my poinsettia had survived nearly the whole year. And Christy emailed in saying, look, if you want it to rebloom, you need to put it in darkness for 14 hours and then bright sunlight for 10 hours a day. So what we did was we put it in like a room that didn't have any artificial light, you see. So it was a room that we wouldn't go in during the day. It was like a cupboard. It was a lavatory. All right, I put it in the toilet. Okay, one that we don't go in, we don't use it much during the daytime. Okay, we put it in there, so it should be getting a lot of darkness over nighttime, daytime, plenty of light. It didn't rebloom, okay? I don't think we've given it enough time because Christy said you need to give it a couple of months. But, here's the thing, just this last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of red leaves on it. They're called bracts. So it's sort of rebloomed, not in time for Christmas, but, you know, we'll take it, we'll take what we can get. So yeah, there you go. That's the story of the poinsettia. And of course, Christy, thank you for the fantastic joke, which I'm sure everyone is still chuckling over, all my 2 listeners. So yeah, thanks for that. And I hope you did fantastic in the quiz. It was what it was, wasn't it? I've just gone through and I would have got 9 out of the 10, or 10 if you include the Christmas Island question as well. So 10 out of 11. I think, I hate to admit it, I would have said Father Christmas needs a poo. Even though we got the book. I couldn't remember. So I think I might have gone for poo. So yeah, otherwise I would have got 9. That's not bad, is it? So if you want to tell me what you got, you can. If you don't, I don't care. You know, it's up to you. Live your life the way you want to live it. And we'll all be happy. As long as you don't, you know, do stuff to upset other people. Try and be nice as well. Okay? Let that be a lesson to all of us. Right. Let's get on with this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
So here comes Bob with his first segment of the episode, and it's trolley.
So a bit of sage barman's advice. Always order more drinks than you need. It is better to be safe than sober. So I rewatched Meet Me in St. Louis this past holiday season. It's the vintage musical starring Judy Garland about a year in the life of the Smith family in the opening of the 1904 World's Fair in their hometown of St. Louis. Now, I am the most Christmas-adjacent person. I'll watch anything they call a Christmas movie, including Die Hard. However, I don't know why they consider this one to be about Christmas. It has one Yuletide scene, and while it may feature the poignant Have Yourself a Merry Christmas, I think it's better as a Halloween movie. It shows what Halloween was like in America at the turn of the 20th century, with huge bonfires, kids doing dangerous pranks, and no trick-or-treating. But I digress. It does have another popular musical number, the Trolley Song, about the colorful transport that takes Judy to the fair. It was nominated for Best Song, but all I could think of when listening to it was Jack and his use of the term trolley. We have heard it several times on Total Christmas, and in fact, another listener asked about it in a previous show. For Do You Hear What I Hear? You can clearly see the American use of the word in this film. It is the streetcar that she rides on, like the famed cable cars in San Francisco. But for the English, it can have several meanings. To be off your trolley means to be acting in a crazy or odd way, or maybe having a public fit or throwing a temper tantrum. It also has its conventional meanings, such as what we use when we're grocery shopping or serving drinks. These are trolleys in the UK, and they're shopping or drink carts in the United States. Or you can get trolleyed if you have too many of those drinks off the drink cart. But Jack will say something is trolley, which just doesn't seem to fit these definitions. It leaves the only other meaning I can find. The Northern British slang term for underwear is trolley. Specifically, knickers or underpants. Which I must admit, it made me laugh. Cheers and happy Christmas.
It's an interesting one that was. You know, the fact that I use the word trolley all the time, but I think I may be the only person that does. But yeah, we don't have trolleys like from the song, but we do. We've got trams. There are some trams in the UK, not many. A few bigger cities have got trams. But yeah, we don't call them trolleys. And we do call shopping carts trolleys. Yeah, and pants, I guess. Yeah, anyway, thanks for that one, Bob. Now let's move on and do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
So the last segment was trolley, and this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is trolley. So this one comes from 2006. It's also known as A Christmas Carol, Scrooge's Ghostly Tale. I don't know why they felt they had to add that little bit on the end, but they did. It's a 2006 animated version. It's computer animated, and it's from 2006. You think, oh, that was a while ago, was it? But it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't long ago enough for the quality of this animation to be as bad as it is. Like, Toy Story, the first one came out in what, 95 was it? The first Toy Story? That came out in 95. So this is what, 11 years later, and it's much, much worse than a Toy Story. It's, yeah, pretty naff quality. So it's made by a company called BKN International, and it was like a British-German collaboration, and it was part of this BKN Classic Series anthology that came out. They did a few other similar films like this. They did like a Robin Hood one, Alice in Wonderland, Three Musketeers, that sort of stuff. This one is about A Christmas Carol. Like I say, load of old trolley, really. One of the good things about it, though, it only runs for like 48 minutes. And instead of humans, it's animals. So Scrooge himself is a skunk. There you go. Yeah, Scrooge is a skunk. And do you know what, it opens, it's interesting because it opens and the first person you see is actually Tiny Tim. The voiceover says this.
Even young Tiny Tim, with his one bad leg, is filled with the joy of the holiday season. However, his mother, dear Mrs. Cratchit, knows how hard it is for her son to see the other children dancing and playing, while all he can do is watch.
Yeah, and it's a shame because this first opening scene is like the camera is sort of flying over the top of the city. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Jim Carrey version of A Christmas Carol. Probably my favourite part of it, actually, is when they're going over the city and you see the whole of London that's covered in snow. And then you've got this version, which is just naff, really. So, yeah, and then, so you've got Tiny Tim there. He's watching the other kids play. Then it goes to Scrooge and... like I say, Scrooge is a skunk and he's whinging. He's got his box of cash in front of him. He's shaking it, going, oh, hang on, there's a farthing short in there. And Bob Cratchit comes in. He's like, why is there a farthing short in my box of money? And it's actually on Scrooge's head. And Bob Cratchit's like, Before he gets to say anything, Fred comes in. He's like, oh, what are we doing with a farthing on your head? It's not quite how he says it, but that's the point. Of course, Fred invites him to Christmas dinner and Scrooge says no, which... I suppose we'd all expect, really, wouldn't we? Yeah, so then he gives Bob the day off the next day. And it's sort of similar to your regular versions, but they've sort of gone about it a different way. And then it cuts to outside and we see the portly gentleman. Now, the portly gentleman are two big bears. And this is mildly interesting. And one of the portly gentlemen, although they're actually listed as collectors for the orphanage because they're not worried about the poor, they're just worried about their orphanage. One of them is voiced by a guy called Keith Wickham. And I mention this because he also voices Jacob Marley, Scrooge's dad, Ghost of Christmas Present, and Ghost of Christmas Future. So, yeah, he does quite a few other voices in it. And he also voiced The Undertaker in A Christmas Carol the movie, which is a 2001 version. I haven't covered it yet, but that's got Kate Winslet and Nicolas Cage in it. It's an animated one. Yeah, so I mention him. He does a lot of voices. And so these portly gentlemen, they're actually talking to Fred. They're like, oh, if we only had 10 quid more, then we could really treat the orphans to a big slap-up meal. And Fred's like, well, I've got another fiver. You can have that. And that's a lot. He's done. So like, well, we'll try Ebenezer Scrooge. Maybe he'll give us the last 5 quid. Yeah, good luck with that, boys. Scrooge comes along and they're like, oh, could you give us 5 quid? And Scrooge stabs one of the blokes on the foot with his walking stick, one of these bears. Now, I'm not being funny. I'd imagine a bear would be able to take out a skunk quite easily. But he's not. He's really upset and he's hopping around holding his foot going, oh, so, oh. And and Scrooge strolls off, quite proud of himself, it seems. So then Scrooge goes home and there's no knocker scene. It's literally Scrooge just sitting there having some gruel or whatever in front of the fireplace. At this point, there's a couple of little mice sort of in this little mouse hole in the corner that are watching it. And there's really no point in having them there because they're just watching. We see them about 3 times and each time they're just watching. They're not involved in the story at all. Don't even know why I bothered mentioning it, but I did. So yeah, you've got these mice sitting there. Then Jacob Marley turns up and again, he's voiced by that Keith Wickham. And Jacob Marley is a cricket, a huge, giant cricket, the size of Ebenezer Scrooge. I don't know why they went with a cricket. Part of me wonders if it was something like, you know, they were inspired by the whole Disney with Jiminy Cricket thing. I don't know. I don't know why they went with a cricket. You don't see any other insects in this version, but for some reason, Jacob Marley, I don't care. He's covered in chains anyway, and he's been dead for 2 years. What's that? Yeah, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. No, he's been dead for 2 years. Yeah, not what is that? Why say I've been dead for 2 years instead of 7 years? You know, sometimes these versions make a change. You think, why on earth make that change? Well, this one, they've changed it. It's just one word. They've just changed 2 to 7 or 7 to 2. Why have they done that? Why not just say 7 years? It defies all sensibility. That was their choice, a ridiculous choice, but, you know, if that makes them happy. So then Scrooge goes to bed, wakes up, and he's like, oh, there's no ghosts here. That must have been some hallucination from some bad soup I ate. And it's like, it was sort of like, why not say that while Marley was there? But it's not. It's like, you know, so it was like they took it from the book, but they did it after the ghost. Anyway, of course, then Ghost turns up. And the Ghost of Christmas Past, you might not know this, but the Ghost of Christmas Past is a Scottish stork. Yeah. A stork with a Scottish accent. I don't know if they were definitely from Scotland, but they've definitely got a Scottish accent. She takes Scrooge back to when he was a boy and he's playing with his sister and they're building a snowman. And Scrooge has got glasses like Marcy out of Peanuts. You know, they're just like two white discs and you can't see their eyes. Yeah. And then his dad turns up, which, as we all know, is not in the book. Not in building a snowman with his sister is not in the book either. Is it? His dad turns up and he's like, and this is a complete reversal of what goes on in the book where he gets sent to boarding school and then Fan turns up and says, oh, Dad's changed, he's a nice guy now. Well, in this one, Dad's changed and he's like, I'm back for Christmas so you can bugger off to boarding school. And that's what I'm like, do you know what, listen to this, it's quite fun, listen to this.
I'm sending you to boarding school. It's for the best. You leave first thing tomorrow morning.
But Papa, tomorrow is Christmas Day.
Exactly. Plenty of seats left on the train.
He was right. I was the only one in the compartment. So I could cry all alone, all the way there, all through Christmas Day.
See that? He cried all Christmas Day. That's most of my Christmas days, but you know. Seems sad when it's a young skunk doing it. So then it's him at the school, and a few years pass, and Fan turns up, and she says, oh, great news, I'm getting married. Me and my husband, once we're settled, you can come and move in with us. It's like, fantastic. You know, Scrooge is made up. This is brilliant. Next Christmas, she turns up. Yeah, you can't move in with us. I've got a baby instead. It's like, oh. So he runs off crying. And the stalker's like, oh, but watch what happens next. And all that happens next is fans there going, oh, I'm so sorry. I really love him. I was like, yeah, we shouldn't have had that baby. Should have thought about that before you got out of the duff, shouldn't ya? And she's saying, I really wanted him to love you, Fred. Well, we all know how that turned out. So then Scrooge is back in bed. Who should turn up but the Ghost of Christmas Present? The Ghost of Christmas Present is a kangaroo with an Australian accent. Yes. So you've got an Australian accent and a Scottish accent. That's where these ghosts come from. Interesting though, because in the 1840s, Australia wouldn't have been that established, really. They were still sending the convicts over at that time. So, yeah. Are we to assume that this kangaroo was a convict? Probably not. So the kangaroo takes Scrooge to the Cratchits' house, and interestingly, it's Tiny Tim that raises the toast to Scrooge, not Bob Cratchit, which I thought was interesting. And everyone's saying, oh, why are you doing that? And he's like, oh, you know. I should have mentioned this earlier. So he's not actually ill, Tiny Tim. He's just got a bad foot. He's just got a crutch and a bad foot. He's not actually, you know, other than that, he seems fine. Then we go to Fred's house and they're having a bit of a sing-song. I'll play a little bit of that for you. Here it comes.
Hey, holiday, time to sing and time to play. Up you get, sleepy head, there are presents by your bed. Ho, 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 Santa Claus, right across the sky he soars. Take my hand, time to...
And he's got a few guests there. He's got a frog, a mouse, a cat and a fox who talks like W.C. Fields. Yeah, here he is.
Hot cocoa. Now, how about a toast to the newlyweds on their first Christmas Eve together?
And they all toast Scrooge because Fred's mum loved him so. That's why. That's the reason that Fred wants to toast Scrooge. Then it cuts to the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is a walrus who talks. That's right, he talks. Lots of talking. And so we see Tiny Tim in the future. So he hasn't died, which is a good thing, because normally he does cark it. In this version, he hasn't died. He's become an arsehole. Here he is.
Enough already. Why can't they stop that confounded racket? I hate Christmas carols.
Yeah, so he's a grumpy old git. So he's like, he's turned into Scrooge. He's still got his bad foot as well. So maybe that's why he's grumpy, because he's had to go around with a bad foot all his life. And then we see the portly gentlemen, the two bears, they're talking in the street, and it turns out that Scrooge died because he had so much money, he built up in a massive pile, and the pile fell on top of him, and he was crushed under the weight of it. And that's how he died. And then he sees his grave, and as he's standing at the grave, he sees Jacob Marley come up, who's chained together with himself, Scrooge, in the future, because he's obviously dead. So there he is, now he's chained up as well. And then Scrooge wakes up and is joyous, so he sings a bit of a song. Have a listen to this.
Now I have a second chance. It makes me want to sing and dance, to laugh and cry and jump so high. I feel just like a butterfly. I turn my back on cruelty. One thing I can guarantee, given such a circumstance, I will not need another chance.
And then he looks out the window and there's the boy in the street. Does the boy in the street shout Walker? Of course he doesn't, but Scrooge gives him some cash anyway. And he doesn't say go and get the turkey, he says go and make sure the butcher doesn't close. So then Scrooge heads down to the butcher's, and the butcher's is run by a Canadian moose, would you believe? Or at least I think he's Canadian. Have a listen to this.
Oh yeah, yes sir, Mr. Scrooge. I promise you'll have the biggest and best in my shop for your Mr. Bob Cratchit.
Then we see the portly gentleman, or the portly bears, and Scrooge gives him a lot of cash, and he also gives him his cane as well. So there you go, have my walking stick. Remember the one I banged you on the toe with? Well, now it's yours. It's a Christmas gift. And he walks off down the street kicking his heels, which is kind of nice. Then we see the butcher dropping off the roast at the Cratchits, and Tiny Tim guesses that it was from Scrooge. Then we cut to Scrooge turning up at Fred's house, and Fred's wife is there, and she's heavily pregnant, and she's sitting in the corner resting her feet. That's not true. She's not, but, you know, I think she is. And then it's the next day, and Scrooge gives Cratchit a raise and a promotion. And this little bit here, I think they ripped off the Alistair Sim version, because he says this.
Oh, don't worry, Bob. I have not suddenly lost hold of my senses. No, no. Actually, I have just come to them.
Which is very similar to this.
I haven't taken leave of my senses, Bob. I've come to them.
Yeah, because that's not in the book. A little bit cheeky. And then he sends Bob home, saying go and spend more time with your family, gives him a gift, great big box of cash, which is the kind of gift we all want at Christmas. And then, do you know what, this is quite interesting because it does really carry on. It's quite a little bit after his redemption. Marley turns up again and he's there and his chains disappear. And he's like, thank you, you have set me free, or something like that. I don't know. Then we see Scrooge. He's opening up a brand new orphanage. He's giving loads of money to them. And also, for some reason, a new wing on the hospital. And he changes the company from Scrooge and Marley to Scrooge and Cratchit. And apparently he employs loads more people. And Tiny Tim can now run. So he's been healed. So they all lived happily ever after. Now, I should have read this out at the start, but I'm going to read it out to you now. This is what it says on the IMDb page. This all-animal version of the much-loved classic by Charles Dickens is retold in stunning CGI animation and is destined to become a family favourite for years to come. Well, stunning animation in the fact that I'm stunned at how crap it is, and destined to become a family favourite? Have you heard of it? I'm guessing no. It's got 63 votes on IMDb and a score of 5.4, which I think is a bit higher than it should be, really. It did actually get a theatrical release in select cities, apparently, by Kidtoon Films. And I can sort of understand that, because quite often I used to take the girls to the cinema to, like, they call it mini mornings. It's like dirt cheap. It's like £2.50 to go and see a film. And it'd be some really low quality naff film. I've seen a couple of animated films that way by mistake. You sort of think it's going to be all right, you know, when you read the blurb and then you watch. Anyway, they weren't as bad as this, mind. They were just a bit, you know, they weren't your Pixar. Let's just put it that way. And it says it was released on the November the 6th, 2006, but then by the 21st of November, it was out on DVD. So, you know, only a very limited release. They weren't queuing around the block for this one. The voice cast, they're not bad, they're not awful. I mean, this Keith Wickham has done a lot of other voiceover stuff. And the guy that does Scrooge, and he also does the narrator, his name's Timothy Bentinck, and he'd been in loads of crap, loads of stuff. You know, you scroll through, I recognised loads of the stuff he'd been in, mainly bit parts here and there. He's not like a massively famous actor, but, you know, he's been busy, done a lot of voiceover work as well. Yeah, but generally, it's not very good, boys and girls, not very good at all. So if you want to watch it, you can. It's on YouTube, so it won't cost you a bean, but it's just not great. You know, I watch all these versions so you don't have to. That's pretty much it. Yeah. So don't watch it. Or do if you want, you know. I don't even really think the kids would be that interested in it, because animation is so much better just on TV. Not just movie computer animation. Not just your average TV program is better than this. Yeah, don't go out of your way for this one. But, you know, I did it. I watched it like 3 times just so I could tell you about it. I bet you wish I hadn't. I wish I hadn't. Let's do this instead. Oh, well, Bob's back, boys and girls, and this is how you keep Christmas all year round.
Hey, thanks, Jack. This tip may seem a bit insensitive, or not sensible. I need to stop these puns, they reek. But it is important to recognize how smell is so strongly linked to memories, more so than any of our other senses. Now, the band The Killers have incredible Christmas songs. And in the one called Boots, lead singer Brandon Flowers describes how just when it seems like the world has gotten the best of him, he recalls Christmas as a child. It helps him escape his current troubles, and he uses the fragrant imagery of cinnamon candles to return him back to that time. Now, my family didn't have cinnamon candles at Christmas time, but this image is so fully steeped in nostalgia that I can see and feel his vision and the emotion that it invokes. Now, I may be sharing too much information, but my body wash is balsam fir. My soap is fresh cut pine. My deodorant is menthol and peppermint. And those car air fresheners? Well, mine bear the names like Christmas cookie, winter candy apple, and vanilla bean Noel. And I use these all year round. Now, I know that I may smell like a walking Christmas tree or a candy cane, but a whiff of these scents always puts me in a happy mood. You don't need an overwhelming smell like pine needles and gingerbread. Just whatever will give you a little festive inspiration to conjure up that holiday spirit. Adding a personal holiday fragrance to your daily routine can make it seem like Christmas every day, and that doesn't stink. So we are still looking for your ideas on how you keep the Christmas spirit all year. Please send them on to Jack, and we'll feature them here.
You know, this is crazy, because he sent me that before I decided to do my segment last week on that Killers song. And he's talking about a different Killers Christmas song. Do you remember, because I told you last episode, that the Killers had 10 Christmas songs they released, like one each year for 10 years. Well, that's one of them that he mentioned there. So maybe I'll talk about that in the next episode. And he was right, you know, what he was saying about the smells. We got a cupboard under the TV where we keep the DVDs, but also under there, we got a load of tea light candles, but they're Christmas tea light candles, and they got like a cinnamon smell. And whenever I open that cupboard, it smells like Christmas. It's nice. Yeah. So thank you for that, Bob. I'd just like to echo his comments. If you want to get involved, please send in your ideas of good ways to keep Christmas all year round. Otherwise, Bob's going to have to think of like another 20-odd before we get to Christmas. Is that fair on Bob? No, it's not. So do your bit. Now let's do this. Okay, boys and girls. It's another joke from my Christmas joke toilet roll that my wife kindly gave me for Christmas. Are you ready? What do you call Santa if he stops moving? Santa paws. I know, I'm not proud of it either, but don't worry, boys and girls, because I'm going to use that joke to wipe my ass. So, we all win in the end, don't we? Yeah, yeah. So last episode, I read the story of how our friend Travis from Canada found out about Santa Claus, and in his email, he said that I should look into Dutch Christmas traditions, and he listed a couple of things, and the first one I'm going to talk about is Sinterklaas. Now Sinterklaas, that's St. Nicholas, that's what it means in Dutch, right? But it's also like the name of the festival, because Sinterklaas is not celebrated at Christmas, it's celebrated on the 6th. Of December, that is St. Nicholas's Day. Now I say celebrated on the 6th of December, just like in Europe they celebrate Christmas Day on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day is almost like a Boxing Day type thing. In the Netherlands they celebrate Sinterklaas's Day on the 5th of December, so sort of they sort of celebrating his day the day before his day. Don't ask me what. I reckon it's just like people are just getting so excited, it's like Christmas creeps and it crept a whole day. They actually moved the day because I can't wait any longer. Goodness me. Yeah, I think it's something to do with how in the old days the day used to begin at nightfall. I think that's where it comes from. Anyway, so obviously Sinterklaas is based on St. Nicholas, the one we've talked about in the past, you know, the bishop from ancient Turkey. He's also known as the saint or Dei Sint, and he's also known as the good saint as well. People just refer to him as that rather than Sinterklaas. And this version of Santa Claus looks a lot more like a bishop. He does. I mean, he wears the mitre like a bishop. He carries a staff. He's got the long red robes. And he's also got a long white beard. So that's what he looks like. I mean, but I think Santa Claus in Britain and in the States, I think he's based originally on Sinterklaas. He sort of more was created by Dutch immigrants into the States who wanted to make Santa Claus a thing, and that's where Santa Claus comes from. So I think Sinterklaas is one of the big influences on modern day Santa Claus. Anyway, his mythology goes back hundreds of years, but a gentleman called Jan Schunkelman, I hope I said that right, Jan Schunkelman, he wrote a book called St. Nick and His Servant in 1850. And this put a lot of the myths together in one place, and it was like a book of pictures and poems where he talked about Sinterklaas. So one of the legends is that he comes from Spain by boat. Yeah, that's right, he does. And there are two theories about why he came from Spain. Now, one of them is about how some of his relics were moved and some of them were in Spain, like the original Saint Nicholas. That's why he comes from Spain. The other one, which I'm sort of leaning more towards, is the idea that in one of the songs by Jan Schenkman, it sings about how Saint Nicholas would put apples and oranges from Spain in your clog. So the idea is that that's where he gets his apples and oranges from, so that's why he's coming from Spain. So I don't know if he lives in Spain all year round and then brings a lot of his fruit to the Netherlands, or he lives in the Netherlands and then goes over to Spain to do his Christmas shopping of fruit and bring it back to give it to the kids. Yeah, him coming over on boat, it's like quite a massive affair, and it's been televised on national television since 1952. Now, between 1952 and 1959, he came into Amsterdam every year. Like I say, televised, about lunchtime it'd be on. And then in 1960, I don't know if he got like lost on the way and ended up going to Rotterdam, or that was pre-arranged, I'm not sure. But then in 1961, 62 and 63, it was Amsterdam again every year. But, and this is nice, since then, it's been a different town every year. Like, every year, it's a different sort of seaside town gets to welcome Santa Claus in. And they announce it, and there's hundreds of people, thousands of people, all go to see Santa Claus come in on this steamship. And this steamship, it's an interesting one. I don't want to go into it too much, because I could go down a right old rabbit hole. But this steamship was originally was a steamship, but then it was like a diesel ship. But they pretended it was a steamship, and they got like a smoke machine to make it look like it's a steamship. Interesting stuff. Look it up if you want. I'm not going to go into that bit too deep. When he gets off the boat, he rides around on a horse. Apparently it's a flying horse, although some sources don't really say much about his horse flying, but apparently it is a flying horse. And in the 50s, it was called Bianca. That's Italian for white, because it is a white horse, right? But then in 1986, for some reason, it was called Jasper. But then in 1990, St. Nicholas arrived in a town called Elburg, and he was given a white police horse, and the name of the white police horse was Amerigo. So for the next 30 years, Sinterklaas was riding around on a horse called Amerigo, and then it died, sadly, in 2019. So he got a new horse called Ozosnell, which means oh so fast, apparently. But I also read, and I don't know when this was meant to be, that the horse was called Schimmel. And Schimmel means grey. And if you're a horse aficionado, you'll know that a grey refers to a white horse. So that's why it was called Schimmel, because it was a white horse, which is the term for a grey. Yeah. But then in a lot of other places, the horse is just called Sinterklaas's horse. Yeah. So there you go. So the children, they're expecting Sinterklaas to come. They put out their shoes. Used to be clogs, apparently. They put out their shoes and Sinterklaas fills them. Now, originally, it'll be things like fruit. That's where we get the idea of coming from Spain with the oranges from. But then it'll be like candy, stuff from sweets and stuff like that. And now, more recently, it's presents. And this is when Santa Claus comes, or Sinterklaas, as they call him, comes and gives presents to all the kids. And for some people, it's like a week-long thing, although for others, it's just a one-off, you know, on Sinterklaas Eve, and the night before Sinterklaas Day. And bad kids would get a potato in their shoe, which, if you remember, was very similar to what would happen with the Yule Lads. Do you remember I talked about the Yule Lads a couple of years ago, when if the Yule Lads came and you'd been naughty, they'd put a potato on your shoe? So that's a running theme, it seems, the old potatoes in the shoe. Now, there's been like 30-odd films made about Sinterklaas, and there's also a series of films called De Club van Sinterklaas, which is pretty much like Team Santa Claus, and he's got all his mates that are all, yeah, well, this is it now. This is something, I will look at this maybe in the next episode. I don't want to go into it too much in depth, but this is where we get to Black Peter, or Schwarz Piet. And Schwarz Piet is Santa's helper, but it's incredibly controversial. So if I'm going to talk about it in the next episode, I'm going to tread very, very lightly when I do. But yeah, going back to the films, they've made loads of films about him. And it's always like, you know, Sinterklaas is dressed with the bishop's mitre, like an old bishop, which you wouldn't think is like the kind of thing that kids are that interested in seeing. But, you know, they've been making all these films for many years. So that's Sinterklaas. He comes along delivering presents until Sinterklaas Eve, and then Sinterklaas Day turns up and he goes home, and that's it. It's all forgotten about. Now, from what I was reading, this is difficult to establish, but Sinterklaas the holiday, not just the bloke, is actually a bigger holiday than Christmas. Although a lot of people now, especially with the kids getting wise to it and like Western culture moving across to them, like, hang on a minute, we could get presents 2 days. Let's get Santa Claus to come as well. So they get Sinterklaas and some kids get Santa Claus as well on Christmas Day. Well, Christmas Day used to be more of like a religious affair, but now it turns out that that's sort of growing in popularity as time goes by, and now Christmas Day is catching up with Sinterklaas or St. Nicholas's Day. So there you go, that's me telling you about Sinterklaas. Like I say, I will come back to this and I'll have a try at talking about Black Peter, but now let's not talk about that, let's talk about this. Boys and girls, earlier in the podcast, you'll remember I read out the email from Callum Crosthwaite about whether Scrooge's niece is pregnant or not. And I mentioned in that Callum has his own podcast, and that is this episode's recommendation. Callum's podcast is called All Your Christmases, and here's the blurb. It says, exploring Christmas across the world and across the decades, each episode a new guest is quizzed about the Christmas customs, traditions and folklore that they enjoyed in their childhood. And I've listened to all the episodes and it's really good. It started in early December and at the moment there's only 5 episodes out there, but he has had episodes this year, and like it says in the blurb, that's pretty much what happens. He talks about Christmas customs from around the world throughout the years, and it's really good. It's a really in-depth podcast and it's a really good conversation. So each episode is a conversation with someone talking about their memories of Christmas. One of my favourite ones was when he spoke to Ron from North Carolina, and he was talking about Christmas in the 50s and 60s, and I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was really interesting about how Christmas has changed over the years. So yeah, check it out. Each episode's about an hour long, some are longer, some are shorter, but it's a really good listen. I think you'll enjoy it. All Your Christmases, presented by Callum Crosthwaite. I will put a link in the show notes, but if you Google All Your Christmases podcast, it'll come up. You'll have no trouble finding it. So that's this episode's recommendation. Check it out. And that is it for this episode, boys and girls. I hope you've enjoyed it. I don't got anything to say apart from goodbye, have I? I tell you what, why not get in touch, okay? I'm not going to be here for 2 weeks. Unless you're binge listening. If you're binge listening, I'm going to be up again in a few seconds. But if you're not binge listening, you've got to wait 2 weeks. In those 2 weeks, why not send me an email and tell me something about Christmas? For example, how you found out about Santa Claus. Or my favourite segment, which we haven't had in ages, the worst Christmas present you've ever received. Or the worst Christmas present you gave. Or the worst Christmas present that someone you know received. We've all got stories like that, so why don't you share them? Why not? Why are you keeping it to yourself? That's selfish. If you want to get in touch, my email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com, or you can go on the website and there's like a form to fill in there, and that is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Happy Merry Christmas.